Most of the time, I'm not speaking here in United States, but I'm in India or one of the neighboring countries. Actually, my husband is coming back today from India. I will meet him tomorrow. And day after tomorrow, I will be leaving for India and going to Nepal and Bangladesh. And my husband will leave a little bit later. He has to do some traveling. So we are in and out of this country. And in December, I will be also going to India. So most of the time, I'm looking at ladies from these countries. And I kind of know their hearts. But I trust the Lord that He knows what you need. I don't know you very well. And if you are in a Calvary chapel, I'm very, very confident that you know more about the Word of God than most pastors in third world countries. All that is missing is, maybe, that we need to live by it, that we need to take it seriously and apply it in our lives. You see, God's Word is there for us to live by, to change us. So when we get together like a conference like this, I want to encourage you that you pray, Lord, please change me. Let me not go home like I came, but do some work in my heart. And ask the Lord specifically for some of the areas in your life that He puts a finger on you. And then allow Him to make that change. Otherwise, next year you will come back the same way. The following year, 5 years from now, you will be the same person. Nothing will have changed. So please take it very, very seriously, the opportunity God has given us to change you into His likeness. When we look in Ephesians, we already heard this morning two messages, and I want to continue in Ephesians 5, and I want to read verse 15. And verse 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or women, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. This scripture in verse 15 asks us to walk wisely. Now, it lists several things what it means to walk wisely. And the first thing is here, making the most of your time. When we look at our life, we know that we may live maybe very long or very short. We don't know. God determined our lifespan. He's our creator. And He knows how long we will live. He made that decision, how many years I will have in my life. Maybe He decided for me to become 60 years old, or 70, or 80, or 95, or some of you, He may given you only 25 years, or 20 years, we don't know. In the Bible, we read, He gave Methuselah 969 years. And He gave my grandmother 94 years. And one of my best friends got only 21 years. Is it fair? One gets such a long life and the other one gets such a short life? Psalm 139, verse 16 says, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That means God ordained how many years, how many days I will have on this earth. He determined your lifespan. We cannot add to our years. We cannot say, no, I don't want to live 55 years, I want to live 85. But we can improve the quality of our life. We can eat all this healthy food. We can have a healthy lifestyle. And we can use all the medical help and the beauty aids that they have. And then we may live a little better. But we cannot lengthen the years. They were ordained by God for each one of us. I saw some time ago a TV program, and they featured a man who says he's determined to become at least 100 years old. And the way he calculated that he will make it is he said he wants to live very healthy, and therefore he is eating only raw leaves. And you imagine spinach every day. And in order to get all the nutrients, he said he needs to eat about 7 pounds of spinach or of these leaves every day. And then he believes it will add the years of his life so he can make it to 100. I don't know what quality of life that is to have to eat every day 7 pounds of spinach. You know, I wondered, did he ever think that after he eats the 7 pound of spinach, he may get hit by a car? Or he's painting his house and falls off the ladder and breaks his neck? I guess he never read in the Bible that the days were ordained for him by the Lord. There is a day ordained whether he eats spinach or not. When we look at our life, we will find our time is an incredible gift that we have received from the Lord. You know, each day that I get up in the morning, each day is like a blank sheet of paper. Nothing is written on there. I get to determine what I make with that day. God ordained that day for me, but he gives me the freedom to fill it with the things I decide on. God allows me to write on this blank sheet of paper whatever I wish. That means I have received this morning 24 hours, which I can turn into something that honors God, or I can turn it into something that is very selfish. I can do something for eternity. Think about it. Mother Teresa got this lifespan that was ordained for her. What did she do with her 24 hours? She made a choice what she is going to live for. And she touched not only the sick people in Calcutta, she touched all of the world with her message of love and giving herself. Hitler had the same 24 hours. What did he do with his 24 hours in the life he had ordained by God? He filled his days with violence, with killing, with the most horrendous crimes. Osama bin Laden, he got 24 hours. What is he doing with it? He's sitting in some cave thinking how to blow up the next thing. Dear sisters, each one has the same choice. What we do with these 24 hours, we can make a choice like Mother Teresa and do something that lasts for eternity, or we can be like Scrooge or like Hitler and fill our 24 hours that were a gift of God with things that destroy our own lives and others. But you know, if you talk and you watch the average Christian, you will be surprised that they live with hardly the awareness that their life they have, the time they have on this earth, is extremely precious. Most people waste their 24 hours on a lot of meaningless things. Maybe you have to go to work and you have to make a living, but what you have left from the day, what are you doing with these precious moments, with these precious hours you have? Well, I'm sitting there doing nothing, or I'm just talking something, some gossiping, some idle talk. When you look at young people, you know, they got this car and they cruise around for hours, especially in Modesto, up and down, up and down. Or we ladies, we like the mall. We walk up and down the mall. We don't have money to buy much, but there goes my 3 hours that I have. Or if you are at home, well, the kids are in school, the husband is off to work, you sit at the TV. It's nothing really bad on there, but it's also nothing really good on there, but you just watch this thing going round and round. What have you done with these two precious hours God gave you? We live very selfishly. And as Christians, we don't recognize the preciousness of our time. You see, time is the one thing in our life we cannot replace. We cannot go back. I cannot say, well, yesterday I had 2 free hours. I could have done something for the Lord or for someone. I go back and relive it. It is gone, never to come back again. Life is like a candle. You know, your candle burns down, it burns down, it burns down, it burns down. What's gone from the time God has ordained for me is gone forever. I cannot even relive 1 hour. There is no reincarnation. I cannot go back and make corrections. There is no time machine. There is no time travel like Star Trek. You know, I'm making the correction and then the thing comes out right in the end. It's not working. God ordained this time and we have only one chance to fill these 24 hours He has given us today to live for God and use the opportunities He gave us. How often do we think, though God has given us and ordained these days we have on this earth, that one day we will have to give account to Him? He will ask us, what did you do with the time I have given you, the opportunities that I have given you? He entrusted them to us. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. What's the judgment all about? God is looking, what are we doing? What have we done on this earth? What have we done with the precious time He ordained for us? When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we find something that's so extraordinary for a person that lived 2,000 years ago. Jesus lived extremely time conscious. If you think about first century society there in the Middle East, it's a very slow life. You jump on your ox wagon and it will take you days and days to go a few miles to the next few villages. No one is in a hurry. It's kind of like in rural India. You know, last time I was in Nepal, we had sisters come for our meeting. They walked for 9 days to get to the nearest bus station. They never in their life had been riding on a bus. In fact, they never had seen a car in their life. They never had been to a city. They never had encountered anything except their small little world where life is very, very slow. Jesus lived in a society like this. People didn't travel the world. Yet, when we look at Jesus' life, we find he is extremely, extremely conscious of his time. You see Jesus at the wedding in Cana, and his mother wants him to do something. And he says, in John 2, verse 4, we read, he says, "My hour has not yet come." Another time, he says, "My time is at hand to do something." And sometimes he says, "No, I need to wait. No, I need to go." We find that throughout the New Testament, it's so different than everybody else there. Where did Jesus' time consciousness come from? It surely didn't come from his society. Jesus' time consciousness came from his understanding that God has a fixed time for this earth. God created this earth, and he determined when this earth gonna be wound up and finished, when the end is there. And also, Jesus understood that every person living on this earth has a fixed lifespan. Once their life is over, it's too late to reach them. And when he looked at people, he knew they needed a savior. And therefore, he was driven by time consciousness. He will look at that man at the marketplace and he will say, "This man may have only one day left to live. This woman at the well, she may have only one year in her life and then it's wound up. Unless they come to know God, unless they receive me and my words, their time is finished." And so Jesus lived with that consciousness of time is passing and never coming back. And then he also knew very well that he needed to follow God's timetable for his life. You see, in the Old Testament, it is written all about Jesus, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would do certain things, that he will have to die on the cross. Jesus knew he needed to fulfill every scripture. He needed to be exactly be with God on the same page of his life, so every scripture can be fulfilled in his life. God, he didn't go around and say, "Well, I got this day here and it says day number 23, I need to be there." No, he left it up to God to lead him. But he knew that he needed to be so close to his Father that God could lead him every day, fulfilling the things God had in mind for his life. You know, Jesus' understanding of God's timetable for his life and for the life of the world and for the life of every soul he was meeting. It created in him an urgency for souls to reach others for God. Jesus, when he looked at people, he could see people are perishing. They need the gospel in their lifetime. They are lost forever. When their time is up, it's gone. And so Jesus lived so conscious, he could not even afford to waste 1 hour of his time or to pursue his own interest. He couldn't say, Lord, I want to take a year off this ministry. I want to do something that I'm interested in. He couldn't do it. He knew that our souls were at stake. He needed to be every day where God wanted to lead him. In Ephesians, we read, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Jesus wants us to be consumed with the same urgency for the ripe harvest fields like he was, redeeming our time. Jesus said to his disciples in John 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no man can work. Then we read in John 4:35, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. What does that mean? Redeeming the time, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. There is a time you can reap the harvest, and there is a time when it's too late. You cannot wait. When harvest season is there, you need to reap the corn. Otherwise, the rain will come, the weather will change, and it is spoiled. That's what Jesus wanted to teach his disciples. He said, the night is coming. No one can work. What about us? What does he want to teach us? I believe the same thing. My husband sent me an email from the mission field in northeast India just a few days ago. And he was writing, after the meeting was over, we had 5,000 new believers gathering together from a tribal area in northeast. And these people were so hungry for the word of God, and he taught them on the Holy Spirit, and the Lord really touched their lives. They went home, different person, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. One man went to his village. He went to his neighbor's house, and he told him, you need to receive Jesus. He was a Hindu. And this man fell under conviction, gave his life to the Lord. That man called his whole family and told him what happened to him. That whole family got saved. And then my husband got a phone call when he traveled to other part of India. He got a phone call from our leader there. He said, guess what happened? Within 1 week time, the entire village, all of them gave their life to Christ because of this one man. The harvest is so extremely ripe. We cannot waste a minute. You see, when you have an apple or a pear in your refrigerator, when the pear is ripe, you have to eat it. You wait 2 days and you don't want it anymore. It's no more juicy, it's gone. Jesus looks at this world as the harvest field. The harvest field is not just in India, it's in Modesto, it's in these other places. And the harvest is so ripe. He wants you to redeem your time for something that's eternal. See, God's goal for each one of us as his children is that we will share his likeness. That's God's goal for our life. Romans 8:29 says that we are destined to become conformed to his image, to the image of his son. If that is true, what does that say? That means if I'm in the image of Christ, should not be the urgency that was in the Lord Jesus be in me as well? Should I not live as time conscious as Jesus lived? Think about it. What are you doing with your life? With the years, the hours, the time God ordained for you? Are you redeeming your time? Ephesians 5:16, we read, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or women, but as wise. So if you are wise, you will redeem your time. You will live differently. You will live conscious that there is a harvest out there that is perishing. You will look at your 24 hours as something extremely precious. ...80,000 people die daily. Most have never heard the gospel before. I'm thinking, you know, if I look at my day, is there some wasted time I have that I could invest in reaching this harvest? Think about yourself. What are you doing the 24 hours? Is there time you are wasting? You know, some people make telephone calls. The first 2 minutes they talk what they need to talk, and the next 52 minutes they talk just for the sake of talking. Could we cut down some of this time? Some of the ladies, you know, I understand you need to look beautiful. I'm not advertising you shouldn't look nice. But 3 hours in front of the mirror a day? How about 2 hours and 30 minutes only? And you had 30 extra minutes? Or when you go shopping, you have 10 things to purchase. You do that in 15 minutes or 20 minutes. You pick them out because you know the store. But for the next 30, 40 minutes, you just walk around, just looking this and that. What could you do with these 30 minutes? You know, I took one time my calculator, and I thought, if I could redeem 30 minutes of my wasted time each day, what would that amount to? Well, in 1 week, it would be 3 hours and 30 minutes. In 1 month, it would be 15 hours. In 1 year, it would be 182 hours and 30 minutes. Think about if I redeemed my time that I wasted, just 30 minutes of that time, and I gave it to God. What could he do with my 30 minutes I redeemed? Well, I could spend 30 minutes praying. I could spend 30 minutes in discipling someone. I could spend 30 minutes in doing something to reach the lost world. I could go out witnessing for 30 minutes. Think about it. In 1 month, I would have 15 hours to give to God. Many of you say, I would like to do something for the Lord, but I got small kids, I got my household to do, and I have responsibility. I cannot do anything in the church or go for outreach or any of this. I just am so overloaded. Look at your time. Do you have somewhere 30 minutes you could give to the Lord that you could redeem, make something for eternity out of it? In 1 year, you could spend 182 hours and 30 minutes in prayer for the lost world and change all of India. You could have 182 hours and 30 minutes to go and visit those that you know that are without the Lord, and you could talk to them and witness to them. Now, what about us ladies here, if each of us just saved 30 minutes? Now, I haven't counted you, and I don't know how many there are, but if we would be 1,000 people here, 1,000 ladies, each one redeems 30 minutes a day of their wasted time, and we give it to God, how much could we give to the Lord in 1 year? Do you know? God would have 182,500 hours he could invest in his kingdom. 182,500 hours of prayer. What would that do to the lost world? 182,500 hours of witnessing. 182,500 hours of discipling new believers in the church. I believe as a result of us, just each one redeeming 30 minutes of our wasted time, I believe multitudes could come into the kingdom as a result. Please take a good look on how you spend your day. I don't want you to go away from this conference unchanged. If you don't do anything else, make a decision before the Lord to redeem 30 minutes of your wasted time or the time you lived selfishly for just yourself. And spend that 30 minutes to build God's kingdom. You will find a harvest in eternity. You will find souls before the throne of God, I guarantee you. Maybe you are a writer. Maybe you are a singer. Maybe you are someone God has gifted in some area. And even if you have small children, you can spend 30 minutes ironing your clothes, and instead of watching TV while ironing, pray to the Lord. Don't close your eyes still. Otherwise, your husband's shirt will have a brown big spot. 30 minutes of your time. Find that 30 minutes and give it to the Lord. Jesus wants us to be in his likeness. So let us have the urgency he has in his life and the recognition that our time is extremely, extremely precious. Dear sister, I want you to make a difference in God's kingdom. And you can make a difference. Redeem your time. Be wise. Give the Lord 30 minutes of your wasted time. Shall we pray together? Maybe as we pray, maybe you make a decision and say, Lord, I want to learn to redeem my time. I want to find 30 minutes of my wasted time so I have 182 hours and 30 minutes a year that I can give totally to you to build your kingdom. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much that you have given our lives to us as a gift. You have given us so much freedom. And Lord, we want to become like you. We want to choose to be in your likeness and to walk on this earth conscious of the preciousness of time and conscious of the perishing souls around us. Lord, I pray that you will give each one of us the grace to redeem our time and at least 30 minutes where we lived for ourselves, what we wasted, that we turn it into something you can use for your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you called us to change this world. And Lord, I believe this is something we all can do. We ask you that you give each one of my sisters the grace to look away from themselves and choose something eternal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.